bulletins over for the order of my steps today. The title is called You Are Here. Now, if you see the picture on there, hopefully it's familiar to a lot of you. I don't know how many of you have been to a mall. I think all of us have. And you usually go into a mall and you see this sign to show you where you're at in reference to where you need to be. Amen? So that sign where the star is, where it says you are here, gives us that information of where I'm at the moment in reference to where I need to be. Now, I think it's safe to say nobody has gone to the mall just to go to the you are here sign. Correct? I'm just making sure. All right? I'm making sure that's not the case. So, now, the reason why I use this is because this is going to represent something. It's going to represent our feelings and emotions. God gave us our feelings and emotions, but we've been using them incorrectly. Now, to get an understanding of what that means, it means that our feelings and emotions were never meant to tell us where we want to be. They're telling us where we're at. Do y'all get this, okay? Where we're at in reference to where we need to be. If you notice I have up top, your feelings must be a marker of where you are in reference to where you need to be, not the answer to where you should be. Now, looking at the map, when you go to the mall and you look at this and you see that you are here. So I'm standing here and I'm looking at this picture and I'm saying, okay, this is where I'm at. And let's say God wants me to go to Macy's. Okay? So I understand because I'm here, I have to now turn and walk down the hall in order to get to Macy's. Now, what we have done, especially in the last 100 years, is we've really engaged our emotions and feelings to the fact where we've already, you hear the term getting in touch with your feelings. And another way of putting that is we are getting strength to the flesh. And overall, we have really engaged to make our emotions have a lot more to say, and sometimes over what God says. The Bible will say something, but our emotions will say, no, I'll either accept it or not. And that's a problem. That's a major problem, because we know He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? So in that understanding, why are we then allowing our feelings and emotions to be equal to or even at times trump Him? That's the major problem. In fact, instead of us going to the mall and looking at the you are here and then going to Macy's, we have become a group that have gone to the mall, standing at the you are here and hoping somebody brings Macy's to us. That's the problem. In other words, we're sitting there in our emotions, and we want God to fulfill how I feel, and not for us to do what He says. Does that make sense? Everybody get that? Amen? All right, so this done wrong is why we have so much trouble understanding and accepting the Bible. This is one of the reasons why we'll go through the Bible and we'll go, why would God do this? Why is God saying this? I don't understand it. It's because you're trying to make God engage your feelings instead of you realizing my feelings are not in line with God. Being led by your feelings has devastating results. Devastating results. The Bible shows us that. James 1, 13 through 15 says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. Now, God tests us, but He does not tempt us. It says in verse 14, but each one is tempted when by his own, everybody say my own, by his own evil desires. I've told you this before, the translation in here, the word evil is not in there. Translators added the word evil. It should say by his own desires. Do you understand this? When tempted by his own desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Now stop right there. One thing if you notice, not only did it make clear that God's not doing it, if you notice it didn't even say Satan's doing it. Now Satan will tempt, but the problem comes from me. Do y'all get this? It comes from the way I feel. If I feel strong enough, my feelings will then pull me away, even though knowledge-wise and spiritually I know what God is saying, and then I'll do what I feel. This is what he's saying here. It says they drag you away and entice you, and then after desire has conceived. So that means you're doing what you feel, not what he says. It's saying it gives birth to sin. Then you sin. It says, and sin when it's full grown gives birth to death. This is a pattern that we see daily, over and over again, and we're giving passes to because why? We're still trying to engage our feelings. Despite God. God says, and he shows in our word, that we are fools when we let our feelings run things. Now remember, we're not allowed to call each other fools. Hopefully you're not doing that. Because the Bible already defines what a fool is. And it lets you know if you're a fool or not. And one of the things it shows you in Proverbs 29:11, it says a fool gives full vent to his anger. Did y'all catch that? So a fool allows his emotions to run him. He's saying that's a fool. Okay? And we have a lot of that happening today. I remember there was an author that wrote a book. And the book was written so the men would read it. And it was to help the husbands understand that sometimes your wife just wants to be angry. Basically, just allow her to be angry is what it said. Now, the problem with that is, in a human terms, it was brilliant. Emotional terms, fully get it. Spiritual terms, it's telling you to let your emotions take control. Did y'all catch that? It's telling you, if you feel, go ahead and do. Because that's how you feel. And we've been doing that with our kids and with everything else. But he's saying, no, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Self-control is something that defines, part of what defines a Christian. We never have a reason, never ever, to say, I couldn't help it. This is how I felt. I mean, if you think about it, all of us have different feelings today. We have these feelings, you came in here with feelings, and whatever triggered those feelings, you may always feel that way. Whatever it is, he lets us know, we're going to see a little later, that you have full control over who rules. Not over necessarily the feeling, but who rules. Okay? Now, the downfall of man without God is being emotionally led. It shows this in Ephesians 4:17-19. He's writing this, of course, to the church in Ephesus, and God is guiding him to let them know, now that you are Christians, you have to make a choice, not to be led by the flesh, but to be led by the Spirit. Look what he says. He says, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. And he's talking about those outside of God, of course, or unbelievers. It says, in the futility of their minds. In other words, going with how they feel. You got to stop doing that. He's saying, you can't do that. You see them doing it. You are not to do this, Christians. It says, they are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God. And then he's going to tell us why. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Now, look, he gives us an answer. It says, they're alienated from God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Now, hardening of your hearts is, I know what God's word is saying, but I'd rather do it this way. In other words, I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to break or mold my way God's way. This is how I feel. Right? We'll say, I know what God's saying, but. And we do that in our actions. We fully know God says I'm supposed to love my enemies, but I'm going to hate them anyway. We fully know what God tells us how to, you know, how we're supposed to be with one another, but I'm going to do what I feel today. Right? And that's what he's saying right here. The hardening of your heart means your purpose is not budging based on what he says. It's fully following what you want. He's saying this is what the pagans do, or the Gentiles do. He says, they have become callous and have given themselves to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. When he says given themselves to sensuality, he's saying he's given them, they have fully given themselves to, if you feel it, go with it. Y'all get that? In other words, they're fully following what they feel. We're in this age today where we want more and more churches to kind of mold or help or cater to our feelings. Give me what I feel. We want to go to church and feel inspired. I want to feel good. I want you to be sensitive to what I feel. If I did that as a pastor, I couldn't give you God's word. Amen? I would have to say, I can't preach this. It's going to hurt their feelings. Y'all see the problem? Okay? Sometimes I know the stuff I give because it hurts me sometimes. I'm like, oh, man, we got to do this. But it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what he says. Amen? We got to give what he says. Now, understand that knowing this, you will not say, because I am happy, I will. Or you'll not say, since I am angry, I won't. Instead, in all cases, you check with God, and the feeling just lets you know where you are in reference to where God says to go. That's, you're saying I'm angry, but I gotta love. So let me make sure I get my love. You see how that works? All right. And in fact, I'm gonna give you two examples. Look at this here, because sometimes we're only thinking of the negative ones. But watch this. Okay. But before I give you that, let me give you two references to understand how to know where you're at. Two things will determine if you are where you need to be. What you are. That's either happy, sad, angry, depressed, so on and so forth. Okay, that's going to be the what. But watch this, because they go together. The purpose, you're there. Okay? Very important. Those two have to go together. Let me show you how they work. Here are some examples of where we are checking with God to where we need to be. First of all, you may feel sad or angry, but after checking with God, you are guided correctly. Watch what he says in John 14, verse 1. Do not let. Now, why am I putting that? That's a command and showing you have something that you have full control over. So this is a choice. He's saying, do not let your heart be troubled. Think about that for a minute. Because a lot of us feel troubled. So we think we are troubled. Am I right? You wake up feeling, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling unhappy, I'm feeling. So then you're going to walk around, right? People come, I'm not feeling today. I have, and right, he says, do not, but remember, your heart is your purpose. My purpose has to always be God. Does that make sense? So I go, I know, man, I'm waking up kind of grumpy today, but I got to show joy. So I keep that in mind to move away from my grumpiness into showing joy. Y'all see how this works? Okay? If you give in to the feeling, you're telling God, well, God, don't worry, I got this. And y'all see the problem. Okay? He's saying, do not let your heart be troubled, but he gives you the answer, trust in God, trust also in me. Jesus is letting you know, no, just trust me. Go and do what I say. Stop going with how you feel. I know we go, but God, but I feel. He said, no, I got you. Just do what I say. Y'all get this? The more we do what he says, then we do what the verse says in the Bible where it says, I beat my body to make it my slave. Because right now, you are your body slave. This is why today we are so stressed out and we're so depressed and we're so frustrated, because we've given in to us. Very much so. We're so emotional today because our emotions are in complete control and we want God to cater to our emotions. And that's so dangerous. Extremely dangerous. Do y'all get this? But watch this. It's not only the negative or the undesirable feelings. Watch what he says for the ones that you may feel good. How many of you felt good? Have you ever woke up and said, man, I feel really good today? Watch what he says here. This also works if you're feeling happy. You don't make decisions because of your happiness. Once again, you check with God. He says in James 4, 9 through 10, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. You're like, come on, pastor. Are you telling me I came here feeling good? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you be careful, because that happiness that you think you have wasn't based on God. Because look how he ends it. He says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Y'all get this? Have you ever had you felt really good and you made decisions based on how you felt? There was a family at one time and there was a child they had to really work with. They had to really work on disciplining and they were really following the Bible. And discipline seemed like it wasn't working, but they were being consistent and obedient to what the word was saying. Unfortunately, it was one day where the dad felt really good. So, instead of disciplining, he was giving him a pass. Oh, just let him go. Kids will be kids. And he's like, I'm feeling really good, and I don't really feel like engaging, and just let you see how that works? Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say, discipline your children unless you feel real good. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? We allow those emotions then to dictate over what God says. When he says grieve, mourn, and wail, is when you stop and go, okay, it's okay to feel happy, but it can't dictate how I'm supposed to be. I got to make sure it's in the Lord. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? I think one of the reasons we struggle, especially here in our country, is we're really comfortable compared to how other countries are. I mean, we eat, we have places to sleep, we don't have war around us, we don't have a lot of stuff that they deal with. So it's very easy for us to become so relaxed, we miss out on how we're supposed to be. Time is short. There's people that may die that we have not ministered to. There's things that we are made to do that we're not doing because we're so at peace in ourselves but not in God. Does this make sense? Okay? So we have to make sure we engage Him. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. So in order not to be emotionally led, follow these. First of all, follow the leader, Jesus Christ. All right, look what he says here in Matthew 26, 36 to 39. Then Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, I put that there to make sure I started this early because I wanted to make you know he already knew what he was going to do to solve what he's going through. He said, I'm going to go over here and pray. He says he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, watch this, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stop there for a minute. Now, I think, you know, you'll get people out there that try to water this down. And what this is saying is he is depressed to the point of death. That's the feeling that just overwhelmed him. Do you understand that? Okay, now once again today we will allow that to be the answer and give people the answer of where they would be and end it there. Jesus recognizing it, in no way are we saying it doesn't exist. Jesus says, he said, stay here and keep watch with me. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. And we know he did this three times. And each time wasn't like 5 minutes. And these were engaging, Father, struggling, and we got bits of it where he was saying, if you could pass this cup, but he made clear, not my will, but your will be done. This, he was making sure, I am feeling so strong. That's why it says, it's overwhelming my soul. He's saying, if I allow this, it will take over my soul. It will take over me. And he kept going to the Father. And if you ever read in a verse in Luke, it lets us know that an angel came and strengthened him. Okay? So in all this, he depended on God. Jesus didn't give in and say, hey guys, I'm feeling depressed. We can't do this. The day is over. Can y'all please just leave me alone? All this other stuff. He went straight to God. Do y'all get this? Everybody understand this? And this is so important because we're allowing so many things and we allow it to run us instead of us being controlled despite of it. I'm not saying it's easy, but you need God. In fact, it not only was it done three times, I have here in parentheses, also check Matthew 4, 1 through 11, because this also works when Satan tempts you. Jesus went through the same thing in which Satan is tempting him, giving him things that may hit his desire, and he kept saying the same thing. What was that? It is written. What he didn't say was, well, the way I feel, or how I think about it, what I think it should be. No, it was, it is written. He kept engaging what the word said, not what he felt. Not once in there did you hear Jesus go, no, I didn't realize that. Hey, I didn't think about that. Oh, that really felt good. I love the way that sounded. No, he went, it is written. That's the first thing, follow the leader. Second thing, the spiritual weapon God gives us protects us from what comes in and what goes out. If you read a little earlier in your Bibles, in 2 Corinthians 10, if you read verse 4 where it tells you the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, okay? We also know in the Bible it lets us know our battle is not against flesh and blood. And you got too many Christians fighting flesh and blood. Feelings and emotions, flesh and blood. Okay, you're too busy trying to fight that while your battle is spiritual. See, what's happening is Satan is spiritually using your emotions to get to you. Remember, his greatest weapon against you is you. Do y'all get that? Okay? So he's going to stir up your emotions, your feelings, either to make you really happy, to go chasing after something, or make you feel real sad, make you feel real angry, whatever it is. And if he can engage you, he got you. So God said, I gave you spiritual weapons. These can devour or get rid of strongholds. So what are these weapons? Okay, this weapon works in three different ways. He says, first of all, 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 6, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's the first part of the weapon. Okay, now you may look at it and say, that sounds like advice. No, it's a weapon. It's a spiritual weapon when you catch on to it. When he says, we demolish, everybody say demolish. Okay, that means we destroy, totally get rid of any argument or pretension, anything out there that tries to take you away from what God says. Does that make sense? But you say, well, Pastor, how do we do that? In other words, whatever argument you bring to me, you got to show me it in the Bible. That would solve so many issues. See, a lot of times we hear somebody come up and they say, I've studied this, I've traveled, I've did this, I've did this test, I did what this, here's my answer. And you'll go, sounds great, where's that in the Bible? It would demolish, get rid of them immediately. Y'all get this? And not just the Bible, sound doctrine, please be careful with that. It's very important because sometimes people can take a verse. I'm talking about collective. That's why we have to stay studying in the Word. This is why you have to hold, those who are teaching you accountable to teach you the Word. So you're free to grow in it. Does that make sense? So we demolish anything that's used that's outside of the Bible. Immediately going, nope. I don't care how brilliant that is. I read some incredible books. And then after I got done with them, the answer that they gave me, if it wasn't in the Bible, it was no longer incredible. Y'all get that? In fact, it was no longer credible at all. And that's how you have to do it. But I bet a lot of us have things out there that we have connected to that really, and you may even say, but I've seen it make changes in my life. A good example, I've told you, you know what the Bible says on raising our children. It tells us how to do it. All right? And I've had many parents go, I've tried it, and it didn't work. However, I read this book by this person, this psychologist who told me to do this, and I see changes. Amen? And they want me to sign off and go, yep, go ahead and do it. But the problem is they see changes. We're supposed to walk by faith. So if I really say I'm a Christian and I trust in God, I just keep doing what God says. You may go, I don't see a change. No, God knows what he's doing. Remember, the problem is spiritual. Does that make sense? You know, right now we're medicating a lot of our kids. I'm not saying it's not necessary in some cases, but we're overdoing it. I think it's safe to say, to the point where it's not until they get older that we sit there and go, maybe I should not have. But at the time, it looks like, man, that's working. Y'all see how that works? Okay? We're doing stuff based on sight, not on what he says. And that's become a major problem. So that's the first part of that weapon. Second part, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now that first one stops anything coming in. So if somebody tries to tell you something, that's something trying to come in, information or whatever, you demolish it if it's not in the Word. Now how about the stuff coming out? You left to yourself, I know all of you get thoughts, all of us, I'm saying all of you, I have to include me in there. All of us get thoughts sometimes that we go, or why did God do that? And God doesn't love me, and God's not here, and he said it'll be, we get these feelings, right? Or we get desires. I really want to do this. I really desire doing this. I wish the pastor would stop because I want to go do something else. You understand, am I right? Come on, we get those emotions. One emotion that's out there, I get a lot of the people come in and say, I'm tired. I get it. Okay, and I say, I'm really tired. Oh, man. Now, if I were to say, today in church we're going to do, and you can fill in the blank, something you desire, all of a sudden, eyes wake up. So how long are we doing this? Can we do it some more? But I thought you were tired. Oh, I'm okay now. It's the same thing with hunger. Like I said, I bet you none of us really experience hunger. Okay? It's called desire. I just want to eat. To where my body's like, you want to eat. But my body's like, we're really not hungry. We've eaten. Do you understand? That could be an hour since I've eaten. I'm like, I'm starved. You know what I mean? I wish I wouldn't say that because my wife uses it against me. But that's another thing. I've got to pay for it later. But do you understand how this works? Okay? In which we allow these emotions to take over instead of taking them captive. If when I'm hungry, I would go, Keith, really? Not you, Lisa. If I would say, Keith, really? Amen? Are you really hungry? You understand that? And I'll tell my wife, yes, I am. Okay, but that's a whole other thing. But do you understand? You'll know and you'll go, really, I'm not. I wouldn't mind having something to eat, but you know what? I can do without. Yeah, y'all get how this works? All right? That's taking it captive. You're acknowledging that you have it. Has somebody ever done something to annoy you? Instead of you going, I wish they would stop doing that because it annoys me, you would go, why am I letting that annoy me? Yes, it does annoy me, but why am I letting that bother me? In fact, I'm going to sit around here on that thing that annoys me, and I'm going to train taking it captive, making it obedient to Christ, and I'm not going to tell them to stop. I'm not going to let it bother me. Do y'all see this? Mm-hmm. See, the biggest problem is we usually get mad at people not to help them, but because of us. Biggest forms of emotion is because of how I feel. Now, I can give you a good story on why I think they should stop, and you may even be right, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is how I feel. It bothered me. And this is that taking the thoughts captive. Catch it first and go, am I really doing this in love in Christ? Am I doing this because they're bothering me? See how that works? So you take the thoughts captive. So that's the second part of it. And then the third part is now dealing with you in that everyday walk. And then it says, and we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. What does that mean? It means I'm watching me and I'm checking me all the time. See, sometimes we get so relaxed in our Christianity, we think, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Instead of going, did I say that wrong? Wait, did I do that wrong? You understand that? My sister was giving me an answer one time on something. It was a basic answer. And then she sent me a text saying, I think how I said that came out the wrong way. She was checking herself. I didn't really hear that. You understand that? But it was just for her checking her. Does that make sense? She was saying, I think I didn't say it respectfully. I think I said it kind of rude. And I was like, no, it really wasn't that bad. It was like, no, I want to make sure what I'm doing. You see how that? I'm ready to punish every act of disobedience once. You understand what that means? It means I'm still checking me. As a pastor, I better check me. Many times I'll come back and go, maybe I shouldn't have said that, based on God. And remember, it's always based on God. Always based. Because there's going to be some things I'm going to say you're not going to like. How I'm going to say it, you're not going to like. But if it's done based on God, then there's nothing we can do. That's what Jesus said. Blessed is the man that doesn't fall on the account of me. Remember when Jesus said that? Okay, that's when you're doing it based on God, you're just an instrument. The minute I do it based on me, now I have to answer to you. Does that make sense? Okay? I've got to do it based on him. All right? So those three make up this weapon, this spiritual weapon that we all have, if we use it. Amen? And the third part, living spiritually, not emotionally. Living spiritually. Now, I know you're saying, I go over this over and over and over again, because this is a key that I think you know, but you see happen very little. It just doesn't happen the way that it's supposed to. Living spiritually. Galatians 5, 16 through 18 says, so I say, now here's the command, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Watch this. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Now, I know some of us think we're getting the best of both worlds. Man, I'm fulfilling my flesh, and I'm still a Christian. If you think that, you're being lied to by you. He just told you, you can. He told you they're going opposite ways. Amen? He said, one's going north, the other's going south. You can't go north-south. Do you understand that? You may think in your mind you are. So you think, I'm both fulfilling my flesh, in other words, all my desires are being fulfilled, and I'm still being a Christian. What we've done with that is we've allowed Christianity to be distorted. That's what it says, you go around gathering around the teachers to tell their itching ears what they want to hear. And that's what's been happening. We're saying, I want you to tell me this, and once you tell me that, then I can continue to do this while I'm still called a Christian. Man, I'm doing good. Amen? Wouldn't you love that? If I told you, you can live any way you want, recite these words, you're heaven bound. Then Jesus comes, you're like, all right, Jesus, I'm ready to go. And you go, I never knew. Now what happened? Y'all see how that works? We got to live spiritually. That's for your protection. As a person who is emotional and understand how that works, I understand. But I'm explaining this to you and I'm being very clear with you. We have to be spiritual. So make sure that you are here is just showing us where we need to be. Amen? All right.